Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. For today, mostly sunny skies, lower 60s. Winds will be from the west between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear skies, mid-30s. Winds will be from the southwest between 10 and 15. For tomorrow, sunny skies, lower 60s. Winds will be from the northwest between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies in the upper 30s. As we're into Thursday, we'll have mostly sunny skies, 57, and Friday will continue with sun. Right now, it's 32.
Kansas Mid-American Network News, good Tuesday. University of Kansas Chancellor Doug Girard announced yesterday the university is suspending all travel to China, Iran, South Korea, and Italy in line with CDC guidelines. Girard says right now there are no known cases of coronavirus in Kansas or any University of Kansas campus. In addition to monitoring developments, university officials continue to plan for potential scenarios that could affect the campuses in the weeks ahead. A 32-year-old Leavenworth woman sentenced to 3 years in prison for the death of her infant son. Cass Smith sentenced Friday for involuntary manslaughter and other charges in the November 2018 death of her son. Law enforcement said the boy was found in an upstairs room where the temperature was close to 100 degrees. His temperature at the hospital was 105. The boy died after unsuccessful attempts to resuscitate him. And it is Severe Weather Awareness Week. Expect tornado sirens at 10 o'clock this morning. Mid-American Network News.
Hey guys, Tim Speck here, your farm broadcaster at the Mid-America Ag Network, reminding you that pickup trucks aren't just for farmers and ranchers anymore. Now they're used for everyday driving, and the comfort and fuel economy of the new Ford F-150 is better than ever. If you're in the buying mode, do yourself a favor and see Rusty Yak Ford in Wichita. Now's the time to trade in that old truck for a brand new Ford at Rusty Yak. Rusty Yak Ford has the state's largest selection of Ford trucks on the lot, which makes it easy to find the exact truck that any farmer, rancher, construction worker, or even mom might be looking for. And right now, the savings will never be better. Right now at Rusty Yak, you get $3,000 off the MSRP, and you keep the rebate. Over 300 trucks on the lot, financing available, and a parts and service department that will take care of any issue you might have. Truck buying made easy at Rusty Yak Ford. Head online and take a look at the huge selection at RustyYakFord.net or stop by the lot at 7310 East Kellogg in Wichita. Call Rusty Yak Ford today at 316-785-9211.
A motorcycle rider who was escorting the body of a World War II veteran died after he lost control of his motorcycle in western Kansas, and a second deadly crash happened minutes later when a car crashed into a fire truck responding to the first crash. The Kansas Highway Patrol said the motorcycle crash happened on I-70 in Gove County shortly after 7 o'clock Saturday evening, the second crash happening a few minutes later. The motorcycle driver identified as 65-year-old Lenny Riedel of Colby. The car's driver, 81-year-old Cal Silverentz of Fredericksburg, Virginia. A report from the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights says the number of women in prison in Kansas is growing far faster than the number of men, outpacing national trends. Kansas News Service reports from 2000 through 2019, the women's prison population in the Sunflower State rose by 60%, while the men's population only rose by 14%. Mid-America Network News. Nebraska Mid-America Network News, good Tuesday. Governor Pete Ricketts says federal officials are urging states to seek whatever federal resources they need to prepare for the coronavirus as it spreads into the United States, and it also urges people to focus as much as possible on prevention. The governor says he's aiming to ensure Nebraska is the best prepared state to handle the virus if any cases are confirmed outside of quarantined areas. A South Dakota woman is scheduled to be sentenced April 7th in northwest Nebraska for the drunk driving crash death of a 6-year-old girl. Court records say Kimberly Eagle Bowl of Box Elder, South Dakota, pleaded no contest to vehicular homicide while driving under the influence and other charges. The Nebraska State Patrol said the crash occurred September 9th of 17 when the minivan the Eagle Bowl was driving went out of control and rolled on a road north of Chadron. One child died as a result of that accident. Mid-America Network News.
As I look back over the past year, I've seen many neighbors and friends who have passed through our doors, and I want to make sure you know how important you are to us. We thank you for your business and look forward to serving you in the future. We'll continue to shop the many different insurance companies to find you the best deal for your home, farm, equipment, vehicles, crops, and business. I'm Dave Savage with Blue Valley Insurance in Lynn, Greenleaf, Hanover, and Marysville. Again, thanks for your business.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. A fatality accident last Thursday evening at 6:40 south of Marysville claimed the life of 58-year-old Mark O. Wassenberg of Marysville. He lost control and went off U.S. 77 south of Linden Road, overcorrected and went off the road and struck a tree. The driver was the lone occupant and was ejected through the passenger side of the windshield. Mark Wassenberg was transported to CMH in Marysville, where he died from injuries sustained. Marshall County Commissioners met last Monday. Commissioner Barm Kiekhafer received 3 phone calls offering property sites to build the new jail on, one call suggesting we consider housing all our prisoners at other jail facilities on a permanent basis. Commissioner Keith Bramhall said he had several positive comments about moving the jail to a remote location for construction. Partnership for Growth proposed gifting a 5.5-acre piece of land to Marshall County, located just outside the city limits of Marysville, north of Kennequip, for construction of a new jail. The group has the option to purchase land just east of this with access to water and would be willing to exercise that option to assist in providing water to the property. There's also a parcel of land owned by Cope Development in the same area that could be purchased by the county to construct the jail. Sheriff Hargrave said there are pros and cons to moving the jail away from the current location. Hargrave feels some challenges could include personnel to transport inmates to the court for hearings, increase in employees, and as always, safety issues with the transports. Director Ellen Barber with Partnership for Growth said she's looking into eligibility and funding to help develop roads in this area. There are sometimes state funding for these types of projects, as well as the possibility of federal funding. No action was taken regarding the jail at this time. Cruzy Dozer Service was awarded a $146,000 contract to dig a construction and demolition pit at the county landfill this spring. Commissioners discussed options for repairing a bridge north of Waterville, with consensus to pursue a cost-share option if available. Washington County Commissioners at the February 18th meeting unanimously voted to declare Washington County a Second Amendment sanctuary. The resolution was adopted to help protect gun owners' rights in the event that state or federal laws change in the future. A similar act was passed by the Kansas Legislature in 2013 and adopted then by several counties as well. County valuations are going out this week. Following a special meeting last Wednesday, Nemahal County Commissioners advised that after reviewing final documents associated with construction of a Soldier Creek wind farm, a motion was passed unanimously to approve the road use and maintenance agreement, decommissioning, development, complaint resolution agreement, and contribution agreements as presented. Gage County Board of Supervisors received the Highway Superintendent's recommendation on the bid for the Gage County 2020 overlay for asphalt projects, awarding the bid to Pavers, Inc. of Waverly for $2.7 million, which comes to approximately $262,000 per mile. A motion to that effect passed unanimously. A motion amending the agreement between Gage County and the townships to grant an additional 1 mile of rock or gravel per township for both the spring and fall allotments for 2020 was approved due to needs expressed at the annual township meeting. Leonard Fritzen spoke during a public hearing on the 1- and 6-year proposed highway improvement plan with comments regarding the quality of rock for roads and the taxes raised by the sales tax for the Beatrice 6 judgment. The proposal was then passed as presented. Another public hearing was held for comments on a special use permit for locating an ag assembly building in Lincoln Township. Dan Crawford spoke in favor, and that measure was passed unanimously. This is Severe Weather Awareness Week. There will be a statewide tornado drill Tuesday at 10 a.m. Annual Severe Storm Spotters Training is scheduled in Washington County Tuesday, March 24th at 7 p.m. at the Firehouse in Washington. In Marshall County, Wednesday, March 25th at 7 p.m. at the Helvering Center in Marysville. And in Nemahal County, Monday, March 30th, 7 p.m. at the Community Center in Seneca. Richard Dick Farwell, age 87, of rural Dubois, passed away Sunday. Funeral service Thursday, 10:30 at the Freedons United Church of Christ, rural Bern. Burial in the church cemetery. Visitation Wednesday from 9 until 8. Family will greet friends Wednesday from 6 until 8 at the Weary Mortuary of Pawnee City, in charge of arrangements for Dick Farwell. Sharon K. Clays, age 76, of Washington, passed away Sunday. Funeral service Thursday, 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church, Washington. Visitation Wednesday, 2 until 8. Family will greet friends Wednesday from 5 until 7 at the Ward Funeral Home in Washington, in charge of arrangements for Sharon Clays. Mark Wass Wassenberg, age 58, of Marysville, passed away February 27th. Funeral service Friday, 10:30 at St. Gregory's Catholic Church, Marysville. Burial in the Elm Creek Cemetery. Rosary Thursday evening at 7 at the church. Visitation Thursday, 10 until 5 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Mark Wassenberg. Lorraine E. Berger, age 88, passed away Monday. Funeral service next Saturday, March 7th at 2 p.m. at the Berean Church in Marysville. Visitation next Friday, March 6th from 10 until 9. Family receive friends from 5 until 7 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Lorraine Berger. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch menu today, smothered steak, mashed potatoes, sweet bread, zucchini and tomatoes, and mandarin oranges. Tomorrow, goulash, garlic bread, salad, and peaches. Again, a reminder, statewide tornado drill. Tornado sirens may sound at 10 this morning. Be advised, this is a drill. KNDY News Time 7:16.
Whether you're buying, building, remodeling, or refinancing, your home is a major investment in your life. At United Bank and Trust, we understand how important it is to work with someone who cares. Our loan officers have the experience it takes to make the process a smooth one. Come in for a visit or start online by filling out a loan application at ubankonline.com in as little as 20 minutes. Mortgage lending with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Michael Glowinski, principal of Good Shepherd Lutheran School in Marysville, a Kansas State-accredited school. From three-year-old preschool through eighth grade, our highly trained staff and small class size provide students with the essential skills for success in the 21st century. New student enrollment begins on April 1st, but if you are the parent of a preschool or kindergarten-age student, I would like to invite you to join us on March 3rd from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., for a special enrollment event. The evening includes tours of our school, open discussion time with the preschool and kindergarten teachers, and a light supper. See you there!
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for Northeast Kansas and Southeast Nebraska. Looking at the surface map for this Tuesday, across the upper parts of the Midwest, we have a low pressure system that's going to push across the area, bringing some scattered snow showers, rain, and snow mix, like I said, across the upper parts of the Midwest into Michigan. Otherwise, across the central parts of the Midwest, we're seeing quiet weather. We're going to see sunny skies, dry weather pretty much all the way through the end of the week, so definitely enjoy that. We will continue to see these warm, mild temperatures again all the way through the end of the week. So looking at the forecast for this Tuesday, sunny skies, lower 60s. Winds will be from the west between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear skies, mid-30s. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, we'll have sunny skies, lower 60s. Winds will be from the northwest between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies in the upper 30s. As we're into Thursday, we'll have sunny skies. We'll see temperatures in the upper 50s. And Friday, we'll continue with sunny skies. And that's a look at your local forecast. I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Average high temperature, early March, 46. Record high on this date, 75 in 1992. The average low, 22, and the record low is 8 below 0 in 2014. Sunset this evening, 6:21. Sunrise in the morning at 6:55. Sunshine and 31 degrees with a light northwest wind this morning in Marysville. That's a check of the morning news and weather. For this Tuesday, the 3rd of March, KNDY News Time 7:18. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
Make or break time for college teams on the bubble, and the heat continues to be the Bucks' kryptonite. Hello, this is Rich Cantu on sports. Looking for a signature win to stay off the NCAA tournament bubble, number 22 Texas Tech pushed number 2 Baylor to the brink, but in overtime, the shorthanded Bears found a way to grind it out on senior night.
To Mitchell with 5 to shoot. Back outside to T. Gets his defender off his feet. Shot is up and good! They
Maceo Teague a three.
On Learfield, IMG College, Maceo Teague's step back three helped Baylor edge Texas Tech 71-68. After being bounced from the top 10, number 12 Duke made a big statement at home against North Carolina State.
Goldwire the rebound. Outlet pass for Jones. Three on three. Lob it to Stanley! Flying in to dunk it down!
Also on Learfield, IMG College, Cassius Stanley scored 14 of his 18 points in the second half to lead the Blue Devils past the Wolfpack 88-69. This is ABC Sports. Around the NBA, the hot-shooting Miami Heat stopped Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks in their tracks.
Butler, top of the circle, Connaughton on him. Gets around him easily, gets inside, out to Crowder. Three on the way from Crowder, got it and fouled!
On WAXY, behind Jay Crowder's five threes and a team-high 18 points, the Heat became the only team to beat the Bucks twice this season in a 105-89 win. Trying to hold on to the last playoff spot in the Western Conference, the Grizzlies had little resistance getting past the Hawks.
Contra the rebound to Jones, to a trailing Gorgui Dieng, jams it with a right hand, and the Grizzlies will build the lead to 24 with a beautiful assist from Tyus Jones to Gorgui Dieng.
On WMFS-FM, nine Grizzlies scored in double figures, led by Gorgui Dieng's 17 points in a 127-88 blowout. The Knicks snapped the Rockets' six-game winning streak with a 125-123 decision, and the Pacers topped the Spurs 116-111. This is Rich Cantu, ABC Sports.
Class 3A Boys Subs Day tipped off Monday in top seed Marysville, dispatched KC Bishop Ward 63-25, advancing to face host Hiawatha Thursday at 7:30. Hiawatha knocked off fourth seed Pleasant Ridge 52-41. Bottom of the bracket, second seed Mar Hill over ACCHS 55-17. Third seed Nemahal Central held off Sabetha 44-39. Girls tip off Tuesday, Marysville girls at second seed Sabetha at 7, live on AM 1570 FM, 94.1. Class 2A girls tipped off as the top seed Valley Heights Lady Mustangs hammered McLeod 77-10. Valley Heights will face host Horton Thursday at 6. Fourth seed Horton beat Oskaloosa 44-42. Bottom of the bracket, second seed Jackson Heights over Riverside 55-20. Third seed Jeff County North over Rossville 43-34. Boys teams tip off Tuesday. Second seed Valley Heights hosting Horton at 7, live on FM 95.5.
Even if it's been years since you graduated, your college team is your team for life. Well, you can have a Farm Bureau agent for life, and auto, and home, and business insurance. Imagine that. One insurance agent for everything. It's that simple. So get a Farm Bureau agent for life.
See Marvin Kramer in Marysville or Bryce Leonard in Washington, your Farm Bureau insurance agents.
Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company, Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company.
Hello and good Tuesday morning. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, with your latest agricultural news here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Following another tough year in 2019, agriculture is poised for hopefully an improvement in economics and profitability. However, the outlook is more cautious optimism. Billy Johnson of FCS Financial says expectations for 2020 in his eyes are for a better year.
As you think about 2019, a lot of things happened. There was weather challenges, marketing challenges, economic cycle that we're in. But at the same time, a large percentage of farm credit customers actually ended up making money last year. And as you think about 2019 and kind of surviving to advance, 2020, as we look at that, it's still, I think, it's cautious optimism. We see the environment from an economic standpoint of actually, I think, starting the year off at least better than maybe we were a year ago or thought we would be this year.
Trade agreements also provides parts of the optimism. However, Johnson says the coronavirus offers a curveball for current economics.
As you think about what's happened in the stock market this past week, as you look at the impact on interest rates going forward, just the uncertainty alone is very challenging. Combine that with some of the international trade issues, and I think the general feeling right now is one of concern, but really not knowing the extent of what the the epidemic is going to turn into.
For farmers who are struggling, he says there are resources available. Johnson says it's important now to talk early and often with your lenders. Of FCS Financial, again, that was Bill Johnson commenting on their cautious optimism approach following another tough year in 2019, though agriculture seems poised for hopefully an improvement in economics and profitability. Sam Speck, Mid-America Ag Network News.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson has delivered his final address to the organization before his retirement. After 11 years, Johnson announced his plans to retire this year, and delegates yesterday elected Rob LaRue to succeed Johnson as the organization's president. Patty Eidelberg, a Wisconsin dairy farmer, re-elected to serve a second term as vice president. LaRue said he is honored that the farmers and ranchers, rural Americans, and advocates who make National Farmers Union all that it is entrusted him with a great responsibility. LaRue was raised on a West Virginia dairy farm and served as Farmers Union Senior Vice President of Public Policy and Communications since the fall of 2016. Prior to that, he served more than 22 years in Congress and USDA as aides, including a time working for House Ag Chairman Colin Peterson. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the Trump administration's trade agenda resulting in a blue-collar boom. The trade policy agenda and annual report delivered to Congress on Friday. He highlighted the trade accomplishments over the last year, including the signing of trade agreements with Mexico, Canada, China, and Japan, as well as enforcement actions and efforts to bring change to the World Trade Organization. Going forward, the report says that President Trump will continue to rebalance America's trade relationships to benefit American workers, aggressively enforce U.S. trade laws, and take prompt action in response to unfair trade practices by other nations. Lighthizer said President Trump is seeking new trade agreements with the United Kingdom, European Union, and Kenya, which would be the U.S. first free trade agreement in sub-Sahara Africa. The 2020 trade agenda also includes the enforcement of commitments by trading partners in the trade agreements, including USMCA, the China Phase 1 Agreement, and other WTO agreements. Ag News from AgView.net. And I'm Ken Rogers.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry, agriculture, of course. Corn everywhere. And it's not getting any better. More about that after this.
Orion here. And if you are looking to increase your profit per acre, and who isn't these days, then I urge you to check out Flora. FLURA has cultivated premium genetic hemp strains from a company of innovators, farmers, and researchers that deliver the highest quality seeds and the infrastructure you need to support your farming operation. Call Jeffrey at 312-206-1860. Check out flora.com.
We are hearing again today from Greg Groh of Archer Financial Services about the global supply of corn. And even with all of the corn in the northern Midwest that has still been unharvested, there's a lot of corn out there. And with the coronavirus, the demand situation is even more fragile.
Global supplies remain historically large. South America is coming into a very big crop, it appears, especially in Brazil. Soybean yields, from what I've heard, are a record in many cases. Looks like a big crop there. This is going to be our big competitor as we go into the new crop year.
We used to call Brazil's second corn crop the Safrina crop because it was translated to basically smaller. But that second crop is now larger than the first crop. How's it looking this year?
It appears there were some concerns that maybe some wet weather slowing harvest would maybe impede the second corn crop, but estimates that I've seen still look pretty strong right now, and harvest, despite some of the rain, has moved along, and it really tells you a little bit about the infrastructure improvements that we've seen in Brazil in the last few years, and the ability to get the crop out of the field and into a truck and off to the ports is vastly improved. And certainly there will still be bottlenecks in certain areas, but along with the infrastructure improvements on the roads, also in the ports, the ability to get ships loaded and on their way has greatly improved in the last few years, and they're going to be a very strong competitor for us.
Speaking of wet weather, we've got our own problems with saturated soils in many places and fears of another wet spring that, well, we saw what happened last year.
There are some forecasts that look for kind of a cool, wet start to things, but I'm watching the California region start to dry out. A lot of these dry periods kind of start from the west. Certainly the southeast has had a lot of moisture here recently. It depends a little bit on how this phenomenon, this La Nina situation, starts to build. Right now it looks very benign or modest in its scope, but some private forecasts are suggesting that this could become more of an item as we get through spring and could provide a little bit of a warmer and drier western corn belt this year. We'll see.
And when the planters start to roll in the Midwest, do you think it will be beans or corn planted first?
In the eastern corn belt, I don't know if we'll see that, but in the areas where the large corn acres exist and have been growing in the recent years, certainly, that's an interesting question. I don't really have a good answer for that, but I know that farmers are gearing up with more equipment and better equipment and larger equipment with the knowledge that these last few springs have been very hard. And the aspect of getting going fast and being able to utilize what weather windows they have available to them.
Greg Groh of Archer Financial Services, back after this.
In the market for a new work truck, the Nordis Motor Company in Marysville has the new 2020 Chevy Colorado four-wheel drive work truck. A Chevy Silverado 1500 model and Chevy Silverado 2500 HD model, they're four-wheel drive work truck standard two-door models. Work trucks available today at the Nordis Motor Company in Marysville.
Farming America is a presentation of the Nexstar Media Group. I'm Steve Alexander.
It's 7:30 from KNDY. Sunshine, 31 degrees this morning. We'll look for highs approaching 60 with a mild day ahead.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports. Good Tuesday. Kansas, the unanimous number one in a week of upheaval in the AP Top 25. The Jayhawks received all 64 first-place votes from the media panel in the AP's men's college basketball poll. Gonzaga was number two, with Dayton, Baylor, and San Diego State rounding out the top five. The Aztecs, number nine Maryland, and number 18 Iowa were the only teams to hold their place after a week in which nine top 25 teams lost to unranked opponents. Dayton has its highest ranking since reaching number two in the 1955-56 season after stretching its winning streak to 18 games. Virginia, Illinois, Wisconsin, they all moved into the poll. West Virginia, Colorado, and Texas Tech fell out. Round ball tomorrow, Wichita State and Air Force at 3 o'clock, KU and TCU at 7, K-State and the Oklahoma Cowboys at 8. Mid-America Network Sports.
Top seed Marysville boys made short work of Kansas City Bishop Ward, tipping off the 3A substate Monday. Marysville 63, Bishop Ward 25. Marysville, a 26-8 first quarter lead, never looked back. Outscored the Cyclones all four quarters, holding Bishop Ward to a pair of field goals and a pair of free throws in the second half. Marysville led by reserve Ben Kirkland with 12 points. Matt Holley scores 10 as the Bulldogs improve to 17-4, advancing to the semifinals Thursday at Hiawatha. Bishop Ward ends their season at 4-17. They were led by sophomore Lorenzo Hernandez with 7 points. They started a junior, a pair of sophomores and a pair of freshmen. A young Bishop Ward team falls to Marysville 63-25 as the Bulldogs advance in substate basketball. Reporting for KNY Sports, I'm Bruce Dierkin.
The Valley Heights girls basketball team began postseason play Monday in the first round of the 2A substate tournament. Senior Maddie Vermitten surpassed 1,000 career points, scoring 19 as Valley Heights defeated McLeod 77-10. Emma Turber also scored 19 points for the Lady Mustangs. Kat Turber added 12, and Kennedy Stevenson scored 11 points. Jill Holowick led McLeod with 8 points, and J.C. Lackey had the other two. Valley Heights led 51-5 at halftime. Valley Heights improves to 19-2 on the year and will move on in substate play Thursday in Horton. Reporting KNDY Sports, I'm Ben Keller. Class 3A boys substate tipped off Monday in top seed Marysville, dispatched K.C. Bishop Ward 63-25. Advancing to face host Hiawatha Thursday at 7:30. Hiawatha knocked off 4th seed Pleasant Ridge 52-41. Bottom of the bracket, 2nd seed Maher Hill over ACCHS 55-17. 3rd seed Nemahal Central held off Sabetha 44-39. Girls tip off Tuesday. Marysville girls at 2nd seed Sabetha at 7. live on AM 1570 FM, 94.1. Class 2A girls tipped off as the top seed Valley Heights Lady Mustangs hammered McLeod 77-10. Valley Heights will face host Horton Thursday at 6. Fourth seed Horton beat Oskaloosa 44-42. Bottom of the bracket, second seed Jackson Heights over Riverside 55-20. Third seed Jeff County North over Rossville 43-34. Boys teams tip off Tuesday. Second seed Valley Heights hosting Horton at 7, live on FM 95.5.
Fresh local produce has been hard to come by over the winter, but that's about to change. A look at what's in season for March on the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report.
Kansans have a new choice from Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans. With Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans from Kansas Farm Bureau, you have access to four levels of coverage, affordable rates, and service from an organization that served Kansans for more than 100 years. For more information on Kansas Farm Bureau Medicare Supplement Plans, including rates and to apply, visit kfbhealthplans.com. Medicare Supplements insured by Members Health Insurance Company, Columbia, Tennessee. Not connected with or endorsed by U.S. or state government. This is a solicitation of insurance. A representative of Kansas Farm Bureau Health Plans may contact you.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9995. Call 1-800-312-9995. That's 1-800-312-9995. Again, that's 1-800-312-9995.
With more practical tips and useful advice, this is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Tuesday, March 3rd, the 63rd day of the year. Alexander Graham Bell was born on this day, and in 1931, the Star-Spangled Banner was adopted as our national anthem. With springtime on the horizon, your choice of in-season produce is about to get much better. And better yet, the earliest spring vegetables are often regarded as superfoods, rich in potassium, fiber, and antioxidants. Turnips are definitely one of those. Snag some when they appear in the produce aisle and enjoy them roasted with carrots and sweet potatoes. Radishes are packed with vitamin C and add a spicy crunch as a salad topping. And nothing says taste of spring like fresh, tender spears of asparagus, one of the best sources of vitamin K and important for bone health. That is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. Learn more at almanac.com.
KNDY.